How many of you were here last week? Okay, what did we talk about last week? Faith. There's like three people. No, we talked about faith. How many of you know what faith is? Faith is what? Faith is knowing that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We talked about that last week, kind of laid the foundation. Now, this week we're going to continue in this series called Roots, and I want to talk to you today about probably, if faith isn't the most important tap root that you drive into the ground, this one is. And matter of fact, I'm going to go a little bit further and say this. Out of everything that I preach here, there's probably only a few things that I feel like this is me. I mean, I eat, breathe, all. I mean, there are probably only about three things probably. Okay, so number one would be, I believe, and you probably hear it in every message, I believe that Jesus came to give us the abundant life. All right, that isn't a far stretch, right? The church is called Abundant Life Church. All right, so that's probably the one thing that anchors my soul. Because to me, whenever I first started hearing about church and going to church and giving my heart to Christ, I always thought it was about escape from hell. That's the way I translated it. It was like, go to church, why? You don't want to burn. Okay, how many of you know that wasn't a great motivation for me? I mean, maybe it is for you, but my motivation was I didn't want to go to hell. Of course not. But more importantly, once it clicked in my heart that God wants me to have an abundant life, that made a huge difference in my world. So there's one thing you hear every week here is an abundant life, that God has an abundant life for you. Now, let me say this. There are a couple other things that I feel like is absolutely me. That it's actually one of those things where all you got to do is push play and I'll go off, all right? And the other one is, well, just to be flat out honest, is weird stuff. I like studying weird stuff that nobody cares about. Stars, wormholes, giants, dinosaurs, stuff that nobody really cares about, and that's why I don't preach a lot about it. But I love that stuff. Now, outside of those two, this one right here, I mean, this is me. This is flat out me. And honestly, I didn't get this for about, I actually only got this understanding of the Bible only about maybe 5 to 10 years ago, within the last 5 or 10 years. Before that, I believed what a lot of other people believe about the Bible in this area. But I tell you, when it comes to this area, matter of fact, last night, I only got through about half of my message. And I realized that was about a quarter too far because people were glazing over. And church does you no good if you leave here going, what'd he say? How many of y'all hear what I'm saying right there? It is my goal always to present to you things that you can take and apply to your life, man. And I'm telling you, this one right here, this subject right here, and I haven't got there yet. I'm going to show you here in a minute. This subject right here will absolutely, I know, transform your life. Okay, it will do more than that. It will transform the way you look at life. It will transform the way you live life. It will transform the way you parent. It will transform your relationship with your spouse. It will transform every aspect and area of your life if you'll grab a hold of it. Now, because of the subject matter and because of really how deep I want you to anchor yourself in this, I'm not going to go fast. You know, normally I get up here and it's like, bah, 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 bah. Everybody's like, and then you get to the car going, what did he just say? I get it. Sometimes it's like, you know, machine gun, you know. But today, it's more mellow. It's more, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. And then I'm going to take it, I'm going to drive that point home deep into your heart. Because if you'll understand it, man, it will set you free. It will absolutely transform the way you see God, you see your relationships, and see everything else. Say, Pastor Charlie, what could be of that importance that we would have to go that slow? You ready? Grace. Grace. Matter of fact, I've heard people preach it. And I'm going, oh, yeah. They talked about grace over there, yeah, but they didn't do an amazing job. Because the grace of God is truly amazing. We were singing it a little bit earlier, And we were singing about God's amazing grace. This is amazing grace. I'm telling you, when you learn about the grace of God, it is amazing. And it'll free your mind from everything you've thought about grace before. And that's why I'm going to go slow, and that's why I want you to hear it, because I'm going to break it down for you each and every level that we go to, all right? So how many of you are ready to study a little bit about it, all right? I'm going to give you about 25% of my message, all right? And I promise you, that'll be enough. Some of you will feel blessed. And some of you need to go home and digest what I'm about to say. And now watch. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to send out a disclaimer even now. For the radio, all our web listeners and followers, all right, and to you, you've probably not been taught about God's amazing grace. You probably have been taught about grace, and you mixed it with some other stuff. But I'm here to anchor you in grace so that you'll see it in a whole new way. Are y'all ready for that? I'm ready for it. You ready? Here we go. Let me talk about what grace is not. Let me tell you what it is not. And I send this out as a disclaimer because sure enough, somebody's going to hear my message and they're going to say, well, that means he said, no. Here's what I'm saying. Grace is not covering rebelliousness or willful disobedience to God. Grace is not a license to rebel against God. It's not. Well, I'm under grace. I can just live any way I want to. No, you can't. I'm under grace, therefore I can cuss out my neighbor. No, you can't. No, you can't. I'm under grace, therefore I can beat my spouse. Okay, we're not under Sharia. We're under grace. You being disobedient to God has nothing to do with grace. Matter of fact, the fact that you say, I can act this way and I'm under grace tells me you're really not under grace. Because the grace of God breaks sin off your life so you can walk in the freedom and liberty that Christ has for your life. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work the other way. Well, I'm under grace, therefore I can live any way I want. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. Grace has come to break sin off of your life, not to yoke you to it. Yeah. How about this? Grace is not God going light on sin. How many know your sin and my sin sent Jesus to the cross? God is not looking differently on sin than he did in the Old Testament. The difference is Jesus came and died for our sin. Jesus came and died. Jesus took all the sin of the world, past, present, future, wrapped it up and threw it and took it on himself and hung it on a cross and defeated it. Isaiah 54 tells us he suffered double for the sin of the earth. He paid for all sin. Why? To prove to us that he defeated sin. And if he defeated sin, why should you walk in sin? You're free from it. It's been defeated. Say, well, I'll just defeat sin. You can't defeat sin. Only Jesus defeated sin. Only Jesus did. Only Jesus did. And if you're going to defeat sin in your life, the only way you're going to do it is to recognize that Jesus defeated sin. You cannot defeat sin on your own. You just can't do it. Let's go a little bit further. You ready? Grace is not an excuse or excusing us of our own behaviors. You know, I'm under grace. I'm under grace, therefore it's all right for me to have a bad attitude. No. I'm under grace, therefore I can be bipolar, schizophrenic, and crazy to my family. No. I'm under grace, therefore if I sow trouble, I won't reap trouble. No. I've had people tell me that, Pastor Charlie, I'm under grace. I don't have to reap the consequences of my sin. No, that's not what your Bible says. It's not what your Bible says. Bible says. The Bible does teach that by grace you are forgiven, but the Bible doesn't teach that you don't have to pay the penalty if you ran over somebody in an act of rage. Mr. Copper, we're under grace. Didn't you get the memo? I ran over him because we're under grace and God's all right with it. How many of you know that's crazy? Crazy talk. No way. So being under grace does not allow you just to live any way you want to. That's not the purpose of grace. Actually, that's an abuse and a misunderstanding of the grace of God. Come on, amen? Amen. So let's get into it and say it this way. All right, look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says this. Moreover, the law came and entered that offenses may what? Abound. Everybody look at me. This may come as a shock to you, but I want you to understand this. There are only. Did I say only? Only. All right, there are only two ways. Did I say two ways? Two ways. I thought I said two ways. Did I say two ways? I said two ways. Two ways to be right in the eyes of God. Only, I thought I said two. Two? Can I get a witness? Two. Two. There are only two ways to be right in the eyes of God. Two. That's it. Every religion in the world, there are only two. There are only two ways. I don't care what religion it is. I don't care anything. There are only two ways to be right in the eyes of God. Are you ready? Number one, the keeping of rules and commandments and laws. That's number one. Or believing Jesus died on the cross. That's two. There are only two ways. Keeping of rules, laws, and commandments, or believing what Jesus did on the cross. How many ways are there to be right in the eyes of God?
Two.
Okay, do not answer this one. Do not answer. Don't answer. I've had people say, Pastor Charlie, all we got to do is obey the Ten Commandments. That's all we got to do. Got to keep the Ten Commandments. That's what we got to do to live right in the eyes of God. Really? There's only two ways to be right in the eyes of God. Believing on what Jesus did on the cross, or living by rules, laws, and commandments. That's right, Pastor Charlie. All we got to do is obey the commandments. Which ones? Well, Pastor Charlie, the 10. Okay. Which one? Thou shalt not lie? Well, I don't lie. Liar. You're doing a real bad job of pleasing God. You done broke one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me? You ever broke that one? You ever think about something more than God? Hey, you broke another one. You're not doing good. I never break that one. You're lying and you're blaspheming God saying that. And matter of fact, let's go a little bit further. There's not 10 commandments. There are 600 commandments under the law. Now we're getting somewhere. Matter of fact, did you know in the law, you were not supposed to travel by vehicle on the Sabbath? Sabbath breakers. Dirt bags. We covered that last week. Dirt bags. Come on, you're a Sabbath breaker if you drove more than a day's journey by vehicle. You broke the Sabbath. You broke the Sabbath. You broke a law. And the Bible says if you break one, you broke them. You broke them all. You broke them all. Matter of fact, y'all are jacked up anyway because you're doing it on the wrong day. Because the Sabbath was Friday night, 6 o'clock, to Saturday, 6 o'clock. Sabbath breakers. You're not doing a very good job of pleasing God. Oh, yeah, we should keep the commandments. All right, let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. Did you know that the law said you can't pick up sticks on the Sabbath? If you do, the first dude that died under the law was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. He got stoned. Don't be picking up sticks on the Sabbath. You can't start a fire on the Sabbath. Don't be lighting your furnace in the winter. All right, hey, check this out. You can't, according to the law, you can't have a shirt made of two different materials. Cotton polyester people? Lawbreakers. Lawbreakers. How about this? And this really deeply hurts me to say. If you eat crabs, lobsters, shrimp, or crawfish? That is... crawfish is a delicacy. It's like a god. No, I'm just kidding. Crawfish, shrimp, lobster, crab, catfish, See, somebody went, oh, man. Listen, if you eat any of those, guess what? That was against the law. You're guilty. It's just as if you shall not kill, shall not murder. It's as if you murdered somebody. If you eat crawfish, no Cajuns are going to heaven. Nobody from where I live is going, zero. Pig, you eat a pork chop, you might as well have a God before God. You broke the commandments. Now, how's that working out for y'all? How many of you want to please God by working the law? See, anytime you get the idea that I'm going to please God by keeping rules, laws, and commandments, you misunderstand and misapply the purpose of the law and the commandments. The Bible clearly says that the purpose of the law and the commandments was that sin may abound, so that people become more aware of their sin. Everybody look at me. This is so vital that you understand the Bible this way. It's so vital. You ready? Let me give you a secret. For real. The purpose of the law, the commandments, and the rules that are mentioned in the Old Testament was not for you to think you can meet them and be right in the eyes of God by meeting them and doing them. It was not the purpose. The purpose of those laws were to prove to you that you can't meet them, that you can't possibly meet them, that on your best day, you can't meet them. There's only one man who ever lived on this planet who met every one of the laws, and his name was Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one. You can never, I can never, we can never measure up. Ever, ever, ever. The law was given so that we become aware of the fact that when we compare ourselves to God's standards, we are in need and wanting, in a debt that we can't pay. The law was never given to make you right in the eyes of God. The law was given to you to prove that you're not right with God. And then once you understand the law was given to make us know we're not right with God, then it's supposed to lead you to a place where you trust Jesus, who fulfilled it all, measured up all of it, took sin upon himself, and died for our sin, so that then we are free from living by laws, rules, and commandments. Yes. Oh, Pastor Charlie, then what you're saying is that we can just live any old way we want to. Didn't I cover that at the beginning? That was my first slide. My first slide was saying you can't just live any way you want to. Here's what you realize. When you realize I can't measure up to the commandment of God, I must not trust in myself. I must trust in Jesus. I must trust in him. Because if I can't measure up, and I am found wanting, then my only answer is him. The answer should not be, well, let's go back. Moreover, the law entered that offenses might what? Get bigger, more and more. This is what Paul said. He said, the more I read the Old Testament and the law, the more I find out I'm a dirtbag. Some of you read the Bible that way. You read the Bible, and the more you read it, it's like, yeah, I'm a dirtbag. Yeah, I'm a dirtbag. Oh, yeah, I'm a real dirtbag there. Oh, yeah, I didn't do that either. Because you look at it through the eyes of the law. You don't look at it through the eyes of grace. I want to transform your mind and your way of thinking over the next several weeks, maybe months or even a year at this rate, to get you to see God through the eyes of grace, not law. Because some of you have the idea of, well, I can't approach God because I'm not perfect. Right, that's why you need to approach God. Because he is and you're not. Well, I just need to clean up my life so I can get to God. You'll never clean yourself up. You don't have the power to change you. Only God has the power to change you. So here we go on. But where sin abounded, what? Grace abounded much. Much more. Here it is. Whatever your sin is, whatever it is, the Bible is clearly teaching, whatever your sin is, grace goes beyond your sin. Grace goes further than your sin. Further. Okay? So let's say you sinned a little, liar, little. Then the Bible says that God's grace is bigger than that. So whatever your sin is, God's grace is bigger than that. It's amazing. It blows your sin away. It's bigger and better than your sin. Now watch this. This gets good. Because your sin is this big, his grace overshadows it. Now watch. So the next conclusion would be, well, then the more I sin, then his grace goes further. You know some knucklehead's going to say that. So Paul cuts him off at the pass, and he argues that. Look, I'll show you. He said, so then, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, well, bless God. If the more I sin, the more God gives grace. Well, then let's go sin some more so we get more grace. Watch this. Powerful understanding right here. Certainly what? Certainly not. That's not how we should live. How many of you knew that already? All right? Even if you don't know why in the Bible, you know that don't feel right. You know something's wrong with that. Okay, so should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Watch this. How shall we who died to sin? Don't say nothing. You ready? The answer is 2,000 years ago on the cross. 2,000 years ago on the cross. That's the answer. Okay, back up. You ready? When did you die to sin? You guys are awesome. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus took all the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, and put it on the cross. Did he not? He took all the sin of the world. He put it on the cross. Your sin died. Let me go a little bit further. The Charlie Riley you see now is very different than the Charlie Riley before I got saved. That Charlie died. I'm new and improved, Charlie. All right? Hey, but now watch. Watch, this is powerful. The old Charlie, sinful Charlie, got nailed to a cross. This is why the Apostle Paul said this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Here it is. You ready? I was crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. The sinful nature and the lack that I could not measure up was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Everybody get that? Okay, now watch. That means my sin was nailed to the cross. Okay, I lost about half, if more. How many of you know if I died with Christ, then my sin went to the cross? That was the purpose of it. Okay, now. No. Then how can something that Jesus took and nailed to the cross have power over me? It can't. Sin doesn't have power over me, not because I'm good, but because Jesus took it and defeated it at the cross for me. And the more I recognize Jesus defeated sin at the cross, the more I realize I don't have to put up with sin in my life and I don't have to walk in disobedience to God. Watch this. Not because I kept all the rules, commandments, and laws, but because I recognize what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross by nailing it there. Come on, isn't that good? See, it frees you from the laws, rules, and commandments. Oh, Pastor Charlie, you're just saying we can live any way we want to. That is not what I said. I'm talking about you. Well, first of all, let me just argue this. See, this is what I do. I argue with myself. I sit in the office all day and argue. What would you say about that, Charlie? This is what I would say about that. I don't know what I would say about that. I don't know. Okay. You ready? Here we go. Pastor Charlie, if you preach the law, if you preach rules, if you preach the commandments, people won't go sin. Really? Really? So the hotter I preach hell, and the more condemned I make people feel, they'll walk out of here going, "Woo, I'm free now, praise God." How many of you know that ain't going to happen? We've actually had people come to our church. True story. Come to our church. Come and visit one Sunday. Walk out and tell a friend they were with. I thought it was funny. I took it as a compliment. They said, man, that was really good. The only problem is I don't feel condemned, so I don't feel like I've been to church. Let me go there for a minute. There's a reason you don't feel condemned. Because grace is more powerful than your sin. Did I say you can't live any way you want to? Did I say that that isn't a license to sin? Right? But listen, preaching the law, the commandments, that you don't measure up, you don't measure up, you don't measure up, doesn't free people to live right. It doesn't. You can preach hell so hot that people's toes are tingling. And the truth is that doesn't help people live right. What helps people live right is them being told and understanding Jesus paid for your sin. He took it on a cross. He nailed it there, defeated it. That's why you can defeat it in your life, praise God. That's why you can defeat it, because Jesus did it for you. All you have to do is not work to do it, but believe that he did it and walk in that belief. So it can't be that simple. Well, you try it. Let's try the opposite. Let's go with, you know, the law. But let's use it in a real practical way. Have you ever tried this? I will not eat cheeseburgers. 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 And the whole time you want a cheeseburger. I want a cheeseburger right now, just talking like that. I want a cheeseburger. Come on, am I right? That's what the law does to you. It does to you. I mean, if you're a pastor and you ever fast, if you want a sure way to get people to invite you out for free lunches, just say, Lord, I'm just not going to eat. I'm going to honor you with my day and just worship you and just think about you. Be like, hey, you know, you want to go out to eat? There are days when I'm like, yeah, let's go. God, I'll talk to you later. And wham, I'm off, man. And you say, well, then you dishonored God by eating. No, you misunderstand. I'm not living for God by rules and laws. If I eat or don't eat, it has nothing to do. Fasting is for me preparing my heart. It has nothing to do with whether God loves me, God cares about me, God set me free, and what God wants to do in my life. See, immediately we go into this performance mode. I got to perform. I got to do this. I got to do that. We get into rules, regulation, and laws. And here's where it comes. It comes this way. It's like. Have you ever had that? I will not fight with my spouse today. We will love each other. We will love each other. We're not going to fight. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be upset. We're going to get along, and I'm going to love her. I'm going to love her. Yes, Lord, bless my day. We're going to love each other. You go into the bathroom, and you're fighting over the toothpaste in the sink. And why are you fighting over the toothpaste in the sink? Because you got in there and immediately you're like, we will not fight, we will not fight. Really, that mindset puts you in the groove where you become more aware of the fact that you will fight than you would have had you just let it go. Man, it's really a powerful principle when you get down into it. Have we even talked about grace yet? All we've talked about was the law. I got to get into grace at some point. Here we go. So get this. So how shall we who died to sin live in it any what? Longer. Or do you not know that as many as us were baptized into what? Christ Jesus. When did that happen? 2,000 years ago at the cross. Were you baptized into Christ? Right. All right. Now, when did you step into that baptism? You say, well, when I got in the water. No. This is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about Romans chapter 6 is all about when you accepted Christ, you were baptized into Christ's body. You are in Christ. Say, Pastor Charlie, what difference does it make? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Here's why. When you accepted Christ, you were baptized into God. All right? Is Jesus right with God? Then guess what you are? Is Jesus favored by God? Yes. Guess what you are? Is Jesus forgiven? Yes. Guess what you are? Oh, it can't be that good. It's amazing. It is amazing. You're in Christ. You are forgiven. oh, but Pastor Charlie, I got to do this to be forgiven. No, you don't. You're in Christ. You are forgiven. You're in Christ. If you could picture it this way, this is the best way I can say it. And I say picture it, although in reality, this is really how it is. You ready? Here it is. Imagine this. God the Father and Jesus make an agreement. The agreement is God the Father would give Jesus his favor, his love, everything. All Jesus had to do was come and die on the cross. Jesus said, that sounds good. Here's the deal though. Anyone who believes in what I did, if they believe in me, the same favor you give me, you give them. You give them everything that I got. God the Father said, you do it, you die on a cross, everything that you have, they get because they believe. God the Father said, yep. Jesus said, yep. Jesus comes, dies on the cross, resurrects himself. Now, God the Father and Jesus have an agreement that the forgiveness, the mercy, the love, the goodness, all these things, when you believe on Jesus and what he did, the same way God feels about Jesus is the same way God feels about you. It's transferred to you by grace. By grace. Favor. Favor. Did you earn it? No, absolutely not. Matter of fact, watch this. If you think you earned it, then you're bypassing Jesus. If Jesus did it all, and he gets the credit for all of it, and then you come along and you go, oh no, but wait till you get a load of me. I can really pray. Wait till you get a load of me. I'm really good at not cussing my neighbor out. How many of you know that's crazy talk? Why would you want to take you and put you in that place when Jesus done did it all? And when you believe on Jesus, that's what makes you free and righteous in the eyes of God. All right, let's go on a little bit further. And I told you we were going, didn't I say at the beginning of this message we were going to go slow? How many of you are getting blessed? How many of you, this is the first time you've ever heard law and grace explained? Three. All right, praise God. Praise God. Okay, so what is grace? What is grace? What is grace? Let me give it to you. Ready? Grace, by definition, charis in the Greek, it means this, unearned, unmerited favor of God. How many of you want that? Look at this. Listen to what it says. Unearned, unmerited favor. Unearned, unmerited favor. I'll give you a practical definition. God's life, God's power, and God's righteousness coming to you as a gift. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Now, let me give it to you this way. Grace is the opposite of keeping laws and rules. Grace is the opposite of keeping laws and rules. And this affects you at the core of who you are and even how you pray and how you conduct yourself with God. Watch this. Lord, I pray that you answer my prayer. I did this and I did that. And Lord, I'm going to pray this prayer good. And by me praying a good prayer, you're going to answer my prayer. Is the focus on God and on Jesus and what he did on the cross? Or is the focus on you? You. Anytime you focus on you, you fail. When you focus on Jesus and what he did, you succeed. Why? When you focus on Jesus and what he did, you operate in grace. Lord, you need to answer my prayer because I pray a good prayer. God says, you prayed a good prayer. Really? That's not a part of the agreement. The agreement is, my son died, took all your sin, and when you acknowledge what he did, grace comes into your life. So then you say, God, you answer my prayer not because I pray good prayers. You answer my prayer because your son died so that I could have a boldness to come into you and petition you. Your blood was shed 2,000 years ago, and it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what he did, so I could come boldly before you and say, God, touch my family, touch my friends, touch my family. Amen. Are y'all hearing the difference? See, one is like self-effort, and the focus is on self. Look at me, God. Look at me, God, how good I am. The other one is, look at what Jesus did. And I believe what Jesus did, and I want the benefits of what he did. One is law, focus on self, which will, listen, some of you are Christians, but you feel so condemned. Why do you always feel condemned as a Christian? The reason is you think God is happy when you measure up. So on some days, it's like, I didn't cuss out my neighbor and I didn't do this. God's happy with me. I did a good job today. No. You still counted on self to be saved. That's not how you are saved. Watch this. You were good because you believed what Jesus did. Day in, day out. Jesus suffered. He died. He bled. He did it all. Well, give me another one. I can live a long life. How can I live a long life? Well, Pastor Charlie, I'm going to live a long time because I eat organic. You can eat as organic. I eat organic too, by the way. Chickens, cows, all that stuff. They come from the field. But anyway, I'm going to live long because I eat well. How many of you know there's a lot of people that eat well that die young? That's true. I mean, my grandma lived to be an 80. She had lard on the stove, y'all. Lard on the stove. Stove. Tell me that stuff wasn't clogging something up. Man, that stuff was white. Come on, anybody grew up like that? I'm talking real stuff. I'm talking, you hit it on the wall and like, you had to heat it up to get it moving. Right? Hey, listen. I'm going to eat organic. That's why I'm going to, no. Watch this. That's law. That's living by the law. And the law always makes you feel like, well, I ate organic today, but I didn't eat that egg yesterday. And I drank that oh, yeah, ooh, I'm bad. Oh, not good. I'm going to die. Because the law always puts another stipulation on it. Because it was meant to prove that you need a Savior in every area of your life. Now watch this. I'm going to live a long life. Why? I eat crawfish. Yes, I do. I'm going to live a long life. Why? Jesus died in the prime of his life so that I could live a long life. End of story. That's it. Has nothing to do with me. It has to do with what he paid for. Come on, amen? Watch this. God answers my prayers, not because I pray good prayers, but because I believe that Jesus paid away so I could go boldly before the Father. Yeah. I can have a strong body till the day I die. Why? Because I deserve it and I took care of my body perfectly? No, but because Jesus died in the prime of his life and he took all of sin on the cross so that my body could be healthy and whole for the rest of my life. Come on, I could rattle everything. God, listen to this. I'm not going to lose my mind. Why? Because my family isn't crazy? No, they're kind of crazy. But I'm not going to lose my mind because the Bible has declared that Jesus suffered mentally, tormented for my sin, so therefore I don't have to be tormented mentally. Has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what he paid for. And when I believe that, that aligns me with the grace of God to flow in my life, the free favor of God to flow in my life. It comes automatically into my life. When you count on self, the focus is self, and you always fall short. When the focus is Christ, you know he measured up, and your faith makes you righteous in the eyes of God, which allows grace to flow into your life. My goodness, that's good. That's really, really good. I get excited about it. I'm going to go all day. All day. Check this out, and I'm almost done. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us what?
Free.
Free from what? The laws, the rules, the commandments. Did I say you can go out and break the commandments? No, I am not saying that. What I'm saying is that the way we fulfill the commandments is by focusing on Jesus and not on self. Oh, man, that's good. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of? Oh, Pastor Charlie, that's talking about sin. Is it? Is it? Watch. Paul, say that if you were to become circumcised, Christ will profit you what? Nothing. Let me set the context. The context is they were telling older men when they came to Christ 2,000 years ago that they had to be circumcised. How many of you know the gospel was not moving at a very fast pace? And some of you ain't getting what I'm talking about here. Rocks grinding, cutting bad. And listen, because there were some people who said, well, if you're going to serve God and follow Jesus, you have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law. It's the law that makes you saved. Paul said, whoa, 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 time out. And every dude went, oh, praise God. Somebody inevitably is going to go home with their kid and go, hey, Mom, I'll let you explain that. Indeed, I, Paul, say that if you become circumcised, Christ profits you what? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Watch this. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Don't be wearing garments made of two different fabrics. Don't be blaspheming God. Don't be putting other gods before God. And you better not worship on the wrong day. You see what I'm saying? The whole law. You can't just claim one part of the law. We like that part. And not be responsible for it all. The only person that could ever come and measure up to all the law was one. Who was it? Jesus. So why are you trying to please God by keeping it? You can't. The only way is to believe on him who did it all. That's the only way. Everything else is a ditch you're going to fall in. You're going to get into self-effort. Watch this. He goes this, last part. You have become estranged from Christ. You left Jesus, bro. You left Jesus when you tried to be justified by keeping the law. You left Jesus. And what does it say? You who attempt to be justified by the keeping of rules, laws, and commandments. Well, then, Pastor Charlie, what you're saying is that, like, at the courthouse, we shouldn't have the commandments up. No, that's not what I'm saying. Why? Because what's the purpose of the law? Come on, talk to me now. The law's purpose is to tell you you can't keep the law and that you're a sinner and need a Savior. So am I for the commandments being posted someplace? Absolutely. Do people need to be reminded that thou shalt not murder is a bad thing? Yeah. But let me ask you this. Well, you get it. Attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from. I've heard that scripture used. Yeah, you know them. They got over there in sin. They fell from grace. That isn't talking about sin. That's talking about when you try and please God by works. You fall from grace. When you please God by believing on what Jesus did, you walk in grace. When you please God by believing what Jesus did, you walk in grace. When you try and please God by works, you fall from grace. I don't know about you, but I want the free favor of God flowing in my life. So I want to stay away from works religion and stay focused in Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. My prayers are answered because what he did. My body is healed. I can't rhyme that anymore. Jesus did it all, man. So therefore, I'm free. You say, Pastor Charlie, is this really what Christianity is? Yes. This is the liberty that the Bible is talking about. We have such liberty. Such liberty. Such liberty. Now watch. Does that mean I break the commandments? No. Here's why, though. Listen to it. God put his spirit in us. So now I can't keep the commandments, but God putting his spirit in me and me focusing on the cross that sin has defeated allows me to live victorious over sin and over the law. That's good, huh? Way good? Way good. I can see we're going to have to spend some weeks on this. Are you blessed? Okay, my time's up. Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.